Sparky.
Hey guys, a question for Mihaela, maybe just an observation. I really liked the way that you were looking at the visual images through this layer over layer temporality, and how you tied up quite a lot of content after that. What kind of take on rhythm would you espouse, or would you go for? And that kind of didn't come through to me, and it'd be nice to hear more about that.
I think that because I don't feel that my background in rhythm studies is probably as solid as to theorize rhythm within this. I kind of try to practice my influences from reading on rhythm onto something that I'm more comfortable to work with. But in a sense, as a practical exercise of how rhythm and thought can work together through something that I devised with this colleague on a purely conversational basis, and then was sent into a space of the body, and then was then sent back into the space of a paper and of a writing. So I guess I was more interested in seeing how what rhythms could emerge in that process.
Yeah, or what rhythm can do. What body does it create and how it gets inflected.
Exactly, yeah. More of a, like a methodological question as well.
Very interesting. We have a question out there.
Yes, 2 points.
Can you speak up a bit?
In the development of the pictures.
Can you speak up a bit, sorry?
Okay, in the development of the pictures, when you elucidate some kind of philosophical analysis observing the pictures, what kind of methodology are you utilizing? And the one that I was thinking that was being employed seemed to be a kind of mixture of both behavioralism in various guises and some kind of structuralism. And the question that I wanted to ask on top of that was, when you added the variant on capitalism throughout the photo, I couldn't quite understand the connection. I mean, presumably all of those photos could be taken and understood in the way that you're understanding them outside of any economic system. I mean, you could have them in any kind of society as such, presumably if you had cameras to and classes to discuss them. So what was the exact relationship with global capitalism?
Okay, so for the first question, I think I was rather using a sort of maybe more montage as a method, it's like drawing from because I was drawing from different disciplines. I would definitely say I was trying to step away from anything in terms of close to structuralism or behavioral studies. I was rather looking at material that came from that tried to deal with this idea of how can we think through, because we read philosophy books and we read them at a desk and we start making very bold claims, but also what happens if we kind of filter that through our bodies, those thoughts in collaboration with others, and also in then taking them back to the writing. So there are a few things I didn't mention. The text, the weight of a thought was given as a text to the workshop participants to read if they wanted. So the text was also there accompanying the process from the beginning. So it was also intended to be a way, maybe a way in, maybe a way of access, which I found relevant. There were also other texts. So the method at the end of bringing everything together was more montage, I would say, rather than anything else. And the images are relevant because they are the only thread. I mean, I chose these images in particular because they do form a thread in this montage. And the thread is coming from my own research, which is that context of Romania, but that links globally with flows of contemporary flows of capital, I would say. So it links, it starts from one local example to expand. And if you think that I did a kind of a gross generalization, I'm completely open, and you know, I agree in a sense, but I was testing out something.
This is
Elon,
sorry. Didn't quite catch that at the beginning. I found your presentation really interesting, and I'm intrigued by this, by the metaphor of orbits, and I was wondering how far you push that as a metaphor. Like when I consider what an orbit means, I think of gravity and how gravity is used as a force to, I guess, well, keep things together, hold something in. And I'm wondering if there's a connection there with how rhythm links the individuals within that, or within the orbits, but also when you're talking about transfers between the different beats and how that happens rhythmically. Like if somebody doing the two beat kind of flows into starts doing the three beat, and how rhythm as a force could lead that to happen, and how that connects to gravity. And anyway, do you?
Yeah, I think I follow it. I suppose the concept of orbits is just began as a starting point. It actually was something that Nicolas Nunez brought up over an omelette that we had after session. He said maybe it'd be interesting to take this concept of orbit and play with it as a training tool. And then in working more with this, all these different things start to open up, like the actual synchronicity of planets and the different ways in which different patterns form by different cycles and all these things. One of the things that seems to come up is that there is a feeling of being seduced, I would maybe say, by these other rhythms that often happen. So while I'm in one rhythm and another, I encounter another rhythm, there's a feeling of tension that's pulling me from my center of gravity, in a sense, to open that metaphor further, whereas I'm being pulled out of my rhythm. And to experience that for a moment and to choose whether to give into it is an interesting process, to either resist the pull of the other rhythm, which can happen in dialogue and all these other things, I get pulled into somebody else's rhythm, or to say, actually, I'm going to feel that tension and either choose to ignore it or work against it or to go to it. Mm-hmm. So this is the...
Do you physically change lines?
Yeah, so you can, as you're moving in one circle, and then you're the whole time you're trying to be aware of your circle and the larger form simultaneously. So in doing so, there's certain moments where maybe a particular person or something catches your attention and you feel this pull. And then at those moments, you can... and it's quite interesting to see it and to do it because you actually get the sense of like a kind of fluctuation or an acceleration into the other flow.
Yeah, well, I think my question is similar for Elon, but it has to do with the idea of unity and this idea that the... polyrhythmic exercise imparts a sense of empathy and unity in a group, and I'm wondering if what you have to say about that. I think my understanding is that some of that is due to this idea that you just kind of stated there, which has to do with listening to the rhythms of others as well as your own, and being able to differentiate that that's where the polyrhythmic part sort of becomes really important, where there's a rhythm over there and there's a rhythm here. I can hear them both distinctly, but I can also hear them as a larger rhythm. So that we are differentiated, it's important that we're differentiated, but we also together make up this larger kind of thing happening. But I don't know if you have something
else or more to say about that, or a distinction there?
Yeah, I think that the thing that struck me when I was doing this research in particular was Becca's stuff, where she was talking about in rituals, it's not just about everyone doing the same thing, but actually all the different participants within the ritual contribute to this emergent polyrhythmic entrainment.
Yeah.
So the idea of entrainment, we often think of entrainment as everything coming together to one thing, was actually she's saying there's an emergent phenomenon of the context of the ritual itself, which is produced by all the participants. The rhythm happens in the individual, but it's also happening as part of this. And I think polyrhythm is a useful mechanism or metaphor or framework for engaging with that on a practical level. And you see this a lot in, I suppose, one of the cultures which uses a lot of polyrhythm is seen in a lot of West African traditions, and this acts also as a metaphor for the society. So everyone does something different, but this all contributes to the emergence of something, and the music reflects that.
I had a question for you. I don't know if this makes sense or not, but I've recently went to something called the Five Rhythms practice, and I was wondering, the experience of that was very, so you, I don't know that much about it, but you go through different rhythms, and there's a certain end point, beginning and end point of a rhythm, so then it's not really polyrhythmic in a sense, but in relation to the ecstatic, I think that happens also there, especially because you pick up, and you're supposed to first technically be able to assimilate the rhythm as it changes, and then you have to attune for a second with someone else, and then maybe attune with a larger group, and then disperse, or so there is a sense of also being able to adjust that rhythm within your own person within the larger rhythm. So I'm thinking I'm wondering what you think about that in relation to ecstasy and how that can, you know, how is different in the orbital one then?
Yeah, I don't have any direct experience of Five Rhythms, but I'm very aware of it as a practice. And of it having these associations with your kind of euphoric experience. I think it's very dangerous to make observations of this, but I would say that part of that is being achieved by the sustaining of movement over long periods of time and of attention, and that this has, from the research I've done, has direct effects on our kind of, on our body's systems. And the combination of that and awareness of rhythm seems to seems to bring up these experiences quite effectively. So I suppose that's one of the things happening in orbits. I think that I made it strong, I was very intentional in creating a polyrhythmic structure because I was aware there's a lot of training that happens in single rhythms, but a lot of performers and actors find it very difficult to engage with polyrhythm. And often kind of go, oh, can't do this. So to find an accessible way of engaging with polyrhythm.
I have a question. That kind of probably draws from the question about shaping above, and there's probably a question to both. I'm kind of intrigued in the practical examples that you showcased in both of the papers, and I'm specifically interested in the event itself, so in the situations that are taking place, and you know, you kind of give examples on bodies acting and creating rhythms, and bodies producing internal bodily kind of rhythms, or body existing in the larger space in itself. But I'm interested in this kind of social potential of bodies kind of acting as an inherent multiple, and that kind of draws back to non-si, and possibly suggesting a notion that through rhythms, and specifically in your examples, through the sonics of the rhythms that are formed, there's a potential of social kind of being constantly with, you know, and whether there's a possibility of an ethical kind of potential for that situation. So what happens when bodies act as kind of inherent plural one? And the same, for example, in the artist with his face down, situations where he's kind of, he is his own body, but at the same time there are multiple bodies that act in their own temporalities and their own rhythms, whether there's a potential for them to connect and act as one. So that's kind of my question.
So the question is whether...
Yeah, do you consider there's a, outside the kind of catharsis or ecstasy kind of experience, the inherent kind of phenomenological event that takes place, whether there's a social potential towards them acting as a rhythmical group?
I think so, because I think the ecstatic is just one aspect of the... Of what forms from the polyrhythmic or the rhythmic experience. And I would say, particularly with my work, part of the intention is that having done that, it is then transferable into a performance context in which you're not necessarily doing these specific rhythms or even something that would be considered as rhythm, but you're just interacting performatively or you're interacting through movement or text. But having done that work, you're sensitized to the potential to be both in yourself and in relationships to the other, or to be part of something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of what's happening.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess in a way, probably I was exploring something quite related in the sense of potentiality, because I was quite worried to not make that claim that it happens, you know, this happens, there's a community, it happens,
mm-hmm.
But more into that translation from one space to the other, and what happens in that translation with an experience and an event that did take place in the, it was quite a phenomenological experience, an event did take place, but it didn't come on its own, it was in this constellation of movements from one place from one space to the other, and that was also in relation to the to space,
mm-hmm.
in cities and spaces of memory. So I was more interested in that, in the movement.
Good. I think we can continue in the coffee break. I have